from the island of Kauai. We send you greetings of love. Every Infinite Way student who is on the path of transition should learn that omnipresence is the key, the secret of oneness between God and man. Every prophet, every savior appearing on earth brings this same message to mankind. Mortality does not exist. Cease ye from man. Cease ye from being mortal man, whose breath is in his nostrils, because one omnipresent divine self is the only self. On earth as in heaven. And know too that earth and heaven are one, not two. God, being the one omnipresent self, can never be absent. And because God is the only self, the only life, immortality must be and is the real life of all who appear in mortal flesh. Please dwell with that. Immortality is the real life of all who appear in mortal flesh. Apply that to yourself, your family, your friends. Apply that to the saints and the sinners of this world. And then choose ye this day God, omnipresent, or mammon. The one omnipresent immortal selfhood that lives forever. Or the separated mortal selfhood that begins and ends in time. And you must make this choice consciously. It cannot be made for you. Unfortunately, few individuals have made this choice. They have lived and are living as mortals. And they have died as mortals. Some have even attained heights of human distinction. But in the end, they have failed to discover their own immortal identity. And they have failed to realize their oneness with God. There are many examples among men and women of distinction. Perhaps Charles Darwin is an outstanding example. He was a man of magnificent human achievements and equally great spiritual blindness. Exposed to the traditional version of God through his father, Darwin developed to such a point that he understood the intricacies of physical evolution as no man before him. Still, he could not understand the early death of his daughter. It puzzled him. It hurt him. It grieved him. And for most of his adulthood, he suffered from a disbelief in divine powers and also from extremely bad health. Galileo restructured the entire course of science. A brilliant man, the Da Vinci of his day. But his outstanding contributions to mankind could not protect him from the cruelty of the Inquisition. Under orders of the Pope, for refusing to change his scientific theories, which were later proven to be true, Galileo was isolated in a dungeon until he was old, until he was blind, until he was useless. Another case of a great man, a great mortal, who could not understand his own immortality. In our times, Charles Lindbergh pioneered aviation. He revolutionized air transportation, and he was deeply interested in conservation of all natural resources. Lindbergh came close to spiritual life, and some would say he did. But when cancer terminated his career, it was clear that his awareness of the omnipresence of God and the presence of God as his own being had not been attained. Two popes in recent years died of heart attacks, indicating that God is not protecting the hearts of human beings, whether they wear the clerical gown or not. Our point is that improving human conditions and doing good for the world is not enough. Charles Dickens is another great benefactor of the human race. He exposed child abuse in England. Dr. Salk, Dr. Sabin, developed the polio vaccine. And throughout the ages, dedicated men and women have devoted their lives to improving human conditions. But all these dedicated souls move into the same fate. We call them innovators. We tell ourselves that they were doing God's work. And what we really mean is that they were doing human work. They were good mortals doing constructive work for other good mortals. And what we overlook is that good mortality and bad mortality are two sides of the same illusion. The will of God is not that you die. The will of God is that you live forever. Good mortality does not live forever. It does not even live longer than bad mortality. Good mortals are no closer to God than bad mortals. Because mortality itself constitutes separation from God. Mortality is a state of separation from omnipresence. When Jesus Christ demonstrated the immortality of mankind, he revealed the will of God. To the world struggling in finite, temporary bodies of mortal flesh, Christ declared, "I am independent of physical form. I cannot die. I cannot be sick. I cannot suffer. I cannot know pain. And the reason is this: the Spirit of God is the substance of my omnipresent body. When you see pain on the face of Jesus Christ, you are seeing your own subjective thought. You are not seeing pain in the omnipresent substance of God. I exist yesterday, today, and tomorrow, because the eternal God is my only substance. I am the unseparated self. And when you awaken from your mortal sleep and practice the omnipresence of I, behold, heaven will part like a scroll, and the glory of God will shine from thy countenance. The breathtaking truth is this. If you will practice faithfully that I am your omnipresent and only self, the illusions of the world, including sickness and death, will vanish into nothingness. But if you remain in the mistaken belief that you are mortal, surrounded by other mortals, you are violating God's will, and you will continue to suffer and to alternate between intervals of mortal life and mortal death, as our ancestors have done before us. The key to the now immortality of every man and woman is unveiled in the Gospel of John. It has been thought that John, of the four Gospels, is the only one that does not report the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. This is a sad mistake. Matthew says, the face of Jesus did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. However, this was a second-hand report. Matthew was not there. Luke, in his also second-hand report, reported that Matthew's account was exactly right, and he repeated it word for word, practically. So we had two accounts by two individuals who were repeating what others had told them. Peter was an eyewitness. He observed the event at first hand. And he dictated his version of it to Mark. And these three identical descriptions of the transfiguration have given us an incomplete, superficial, distorted report of a stupendous divine truth. John did not omit the transfiguration. In fact, John gives us the only true account of the event that is in the Bible. He doesn't waste one word on the physical appearance of Jesus. He doesn't even tell us that he saw the form of Jesus dematerialize, and that he saw it replaced by a translucent essence which blended into the atmosphere and expanded gradually until his ethereal form covered the entire horizon. As if Jesus were now bigger than the sun and the earth combined. No, John saw something beyond the physical when he observed the transfiguration. To the enraptured soul of John, Spirit was demonstrating the omnipresence of I Am, not as the self of Jesus alone, but as the divine selfhood of all mankind. This overpowering transfiguration, witnessed in soul consciousness by John, became the first 14 verses of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. We learned there that the immortal Christ extended to infinity is the identity of all men now. In him was life, and life was the light of men. This is not a fantasy. This is divine truth. And until you accept and live as that omnipresent, immortal Christ, you are walking in the darkness of your mortal sleep, separated from the one immortal life of God. But, says John, as many as received him, meaning to whomever omnipresent Christ identity is accepted, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so we see the reason for the Master's teaching that we must be reborn of the Spirit of God. First born into the flesh, then reborn of the Spirit. In these inspired 14 verses, John revealed not only why Jesus Christ could never die, and why no tomb could hold his infinite, immortal body, but he also revealed the invisible path to your transition from a dying, earthbound mortal to the eternal life of the enlightened Son of God. on the day of transfiguration, God demonstrated through Jesus Christ that man is immortal, made of spirit, not flesh, and that his body extends from infinity to infinity, indivisible forever, that he is eternal, that true man can never die. I would like to, in the silence, find our spiritual center. Three important facts are now brought to your attention. One, Christ is the invisible identity of all immortals now walking this earth in mortal form. Two, immortals can never be separated by time or space. They are always present everywhere and are unaffected by false material powers of sickness, pain, or death. Three, the miracle of Christ realized changes the limitations of earth to the freedom of heaven. Now, to demonstrate that Christhood is an omnipresent truth, not confined only to Christ Jesus, two immortals are united with the transfigured Jesus. In the quietness of your mind, in soul consciousness, join John, James, and Peter as they see Moses and Elijah alive, as reported in Matthew 17:3. They are talking with Jesus. And this is taking place in the soul world. This means that all three realize themselves to be the one omnipresent Christ, the one undivided life of God. And yet there's a deeper meaning here. As we look behind the appearances in time at the invisible now of eternity, you are face to face with your own immortal self. On the surface, of passing time. Human eyes see forms. But John perceives the invisible immortality of man in the eternal now. And he shows us that living immortality as a present existence of the undying dimensions of life. As you dwell with this, and firm up your knowledge that the eternal I Am of all men now exists, and that is why Moses and Elijah, long gone from the human scene, could now appear. Because the eternal I Am never dies. But always exists behind the mask of human life. That eternal I Am has the power to transform your life and the life of the world. On page 70 of Living Between Two Worlds, Joel makes a most unusual statement. One individual, he says, discovering the secret of omnipresence, can release the world from its bondage to the limitations of material sense. You may find yourself nodding in agreement with that very provocative statement. I did. But then a delayed reaction in me was saying, well, wait a minute. There's more here than meets the eye. So I read it again. One individual, discovering the secret of omnipresence, can release the world from its bondage to the limitations of material sense. Ah, that's what was disturbing me. Can release. That contains the hidden clue to Joel's real meaning. Didn't Jesus Christ discover the secret of omnipresence? Of course he did. Then according to Joel's observation, Jesus Christ has already released the world from bondage to material sense. What about Enoch, Moses, Elijah, the Essenes? Didn't they discover the secret of omnipresence? All attained their own immortality by rising beyond the false limitations of mortality. And therefore, again, by Joel's definition, they had to release mankind from bondage to material sense. What about the Mayans? Did they become extinct, or did they vanish as a tribe because their knowledge of omnipresence lifted them above matter in the dimensions of real existence? And finally, it seems clear that what Joel was saying is this. Because saviors have appeared on earth who understood and practiced the secret of omnipresence, and because one individual, knowing these secrets, can release the world from material bondage, the world is already released. We are not under material bondage. We are not confined to material limitations. And the instant we realize one omnipresent Christ as the identity of all, and live from that consciousness, the false bonds of limitation that we now accept will fall away. And the world is new. In omnipresent Christ, our daily experience is filled by an unseen power. The hypnosis of matter is replaced by the revealing light of spirit. And the limited time world dissolves into the unlimited miracle of the infinite now. A sleeping world is unaware that Jesus Christ gave us a new God. Too busy looking at the sky for the old God, we were free but still praying for freedom. We were divine but striving to improve our mortality. And while we lived and died in our sense of mortal bodies, spirit, lighting the consciousness of Jesus, demonstrated that God is the invisible self of all who call themselves mortal. God is all. God is immortal. Mortality is a full state of believing that you and God are two, not one. Proof that God was and is the life of Jesus was his inability to die. His life is eternal. Proof that Jesus released his disciples from material sense is that they could see him alive after crucifixion, walking into the upper room at the home of Mark's mother. They could hear an immortal man speak. They were seeing and hearing immortality, because they were making transition from life outside mortal bodies to the realization of unconditioned immortality right there in the infinite now. Now, here's a question that science cannot answer, nor religion. Yet it is one of the most important questions that you will ever be asked. On page 70, Joel says, what is this omnipresence that is present where we are? Whether we are comfortably situated or whether we may at the moment be in some hell of sin, false appetite, disease, age, or even death. What is it that can set us free? And in setting us free, release all mankind from the slavery of bondage to the five physical senses and the limitations of the human mind. To answer that question with divine authority, let us contemplate several aspects of the one consciousness that fills infinite space and time with omni-Christ perfection. It may surprise you to discover that you have been rejecting God life. This is one of the peculiarities of human nature. We cannot distinguish between the reflection in the mirror and the genuine original. The life of Christ is the life of all men. But the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. The life of God is the one and only life. It is your real life now. Your God life is immortal, eternal, infinite, perfect, harmonious, and everywhere present. Your God life is not mortal and never was born. Your God life never was born. By accepting birth, you reject God life. Another contradiction. You can never be less than God life, and you can never be separated from it, because you are it. And you can never be separated from your God life. So therefore, you can never be sick or diseased. You can never be buried or destroyed. But remember this, your mortal form can never contain your God life. Mortal form cannot contain immortal life. Immortal life is independent of physical form. And so by living inside physical form, you reject the eternal God life, which is never contained in form. The kingdom of God is your infinite eternal life. All of your God life is alive now. But it manifests to your human senses as past, present, and future. This is the same one God life of your mother, father, and children, and the life which unites you in oneness with all immortals in heaven and on earth. You reject this God life for yourself, and you reject it for everyone you know, and the error is multiplied, magnified, perpetuated by the darkness of man's physical senses. Your God life is never confined to one place at a time. And you will discover in high consciousness your soul will reveal that you are wherever God life is. The immortal God life expresses through your soul continuously and is never divided into time intervals or lifespans. Your God life is already eternal. Perhaps we can close this first half with a realization that just as we reject God life, we reject spirit as our substance. God says, all that I have is thine, and God is spirit. And because man has all that God has, you have God's life and God's spirit. Not atoms, not molecules, not cells. And so by accepting atoms, molecules, and cells, you reject spirit, the substance of God. And in that rejection, you make yourself a counterfeit atomic man or woman who must die. We'll continue in a few moments. Let us be still. Thank you.